Andrew, as he brings us around the word this morning.
Hey, why don't you give our awesome creative team a hand? And give yourself a hand. Tell the person next to you to say, you look incredible. And now turn to them and say, I look incredible. Not me. Feeling good? Who's feeling good? Never underestimate what being in the house of God can do. Amen? Sometimes it's like to get somewhere. It's always difficult, isn't it? There's always oppositions. It was cold this morning. Was it cold? Or was it just me? It felt cold. It was cold. Compared to summer, it was cold. But you know what? I can remember through my life, even when I was not having to be here, you know, I remember thinking in wintertime, wow, and you'd get out of that bed and it's freezing. That's the hardest part, isn't it? But then you get to church and you get the warmth of the community of Christ. Amen? And then you get the warmth of the air conditioning unit, which is good. And then by the time you walk out, you just feel fantastic. Sometimes the hardest thing is just getting somewhere and then you can feel amazing. Is that good? So it's good to have you here. You're the faithful winter ones. It's good to see you here. It's good to see some of you here on time. Just a shot from the pastor. Just let you know. It's all good. You know, I'm going to talk on faith. Last week we talked on miracles, and this week I want to talk on faith. Faith is such an important topic. Look at our world. What a crazy week. I mean, maybe you just turn off the radio. It's probably not a bad idea. Maybe you're not in tune with everything that's going on. But I tell you, there is just some crazy stuff going on. Just people, you know, extremists, attacks and things. And look what America's done. So many things going on right now. We need to have our faith intact. Would you agree? We really do. We need to stand strong. These are times where our faith will be tested. And I think we need to stand strong and realize where we get our hope from. You know, if I was to do some sort of survey in this room and talk about the strength of your relationship with God, I could guarantee you that behind it, the foundation of that strength would be an experience that you've personally had with God. Something that you've believed for, something that you've believed in, and you've seen God come through. Amen? I think when someone has a personal faith experience, it transcends any argument, it transcends any debate that's out there. When you have something that you can tangibly know and something that is real in your life that you just know that God came through and changed a circumstance. Maybe it was a healing, maybe it was a financial miracle, maybe it was something else. But you just know that God was involved. You prayed for it, you believed for it, you put it out there and God returned with a miracle of some sort or just something that's happened. Amen? You know, it's what we all believe for. And I believe it's the foundation of our faith and the foundation of our maturity. And I'm going to read Hebrews 11, verse 1. Got your Bible? Hook it up. We all know this passage, this verse very well. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's exciting. No matter what you're involved in right now, there is an unseen God that we can't see, but there is an unseen God, and his word can create something that you can't even see now. That's faith. So whatever you're facing right now and you can't see an answer, faith actually has the ability to create an answer. Are you with me? Have you noticed that, and this is something I've noticed, that people with the most amazing relationship with God, the people that I know that, you know, when you talk with them, they just bubble over with confessions of God, and they talk about God all the time, and they get all mushy and they love God, and God just comes off their lips and they just want to talk about God day and night. You know, I've noticed that those people have great faith. Are you with me? You meet someone who's got that, because I think when you're in this place of closeness with God, that you start to see faith incidences all around your life. And I know there are some people out there who just attribute God to everything. And you know what? I kind of am one of those. I'm a little bit like that. And some people go, you know, that's a bit silly. Why not? Why not? You know, I am that, you know, someone says, that idiot that pulls into a car park and says, God, give me a car park. And then someone appears and I park my car. And some people go, oh, this is stupid. You know, you're one of those hyper-faith idiots. Well, I'm like, well, guess what? Do you think God doesn't want to? That's exactly right. And do you think he's not interested? And if it took me a little bit longer, why not? Why not? If God's that involved in your life, why not involve him in anything? And you walk in and you're about to buy something and you want a deal and you just put a fake, God, give me some favor here. And you suddenly get the best price. And can I tell you about my spa pool? Have you heard the pastor's spa pool story? I've always wanted a spa pool. Just a spa pool, you know, soak in it. You know, spa pool. And okay, now this is visual. But last night I was in my spa pool with the latest United album on, just worshiping God. I'm telling you, that's heaven. Freezing cold outside. I'm sorry, it's visual. I'm in my spa pool and there's the United album on my little stereo and I'm just worshiping God, and I'm raptured. I'm warm, it's bubbling, and there's really good worship and I'm raptured. Nothing wrong with that. Anyway, my spa pool story. I've always wanted one. You talk to my kids, my wife, I've always talked about a spa pool. I'm walking past Bunnings and there's a box in that little section and I go, what's that? And some guy comes up to me and I says, is that a spa pool? Is that part of a spa? It had $100 on it. And then I'm like looking at it and the guy just pops out of nowhere and he goes, yeah, it is, but I'm about to, you can have it for $50. I'm like, really? It's mine. It's mine. I'll have it right now. I don't know. Is that complete? He goes, well, I don't know. I get it home. It was $1,400. Set it up, blow it up, set it up. And it's churning. And we're worshiping and together in warm water. And it blows up. You can move it away, pack it up for summer, bring it out for winter. That's my spa pool story. But I've always, my wife says to me, that's ridiculous. You've always wanted one. And I just rang her on the phone and said, honey, I got a spa. She's like, oh, what? How much? I said, $50. You know what she said? Is there another one? Guess what? You know, you look at that and you think, I've had, and I've talked about it for years, and, you know, I just haven't, but you think that, oh, that's a coincidence. You're at Bunnings at the right time. There was one. Well, you know what? Me and God, we worship in the spa pool. He wanted one. I wanted one. We worship together. Get your head around that. I don't know. It's not a big spa. It's just enough room for me and God. So don't think you're getting an invite anytime soon. It's just a small spa. Inflatable thing. It'd be a little bit weird. The whole leadership team in the spa. Hey, Pastor Andrew, how long do I have to be here? Crazy. Why not have an expectancy for God? Why not? Don't bring God down to your natural experiences. Let him be who he is. Let him transcend your natural experiences. You know, I love this passage. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen to this. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By it, the elders obtained a good testimony. You know, us and our belief and our desire and the fact that we have faith experiences is an indication of our maturity. Are you with me? You can't engage with God without faith. You just can't. There's nothing in God's realm that's really vital to your life that is not engaged without faith, from your salvation right the way through to healing, to blessing, to anything. It all takes faith. It's the currency, someone once said, of the kingdom of God. So the more you get involved in it, the more you would believe it, and the more that you allow your life to be wrapped around it, the more it flows off your lips, and the more you react in faith to a circumstance instead of something natural and going, oh my goodness, the more that it just comes out of you, it actually displays and it underlines the maturity that you have. Someone with a great maturity, I can guarantee you can sit them down here. I could get anyone who's got a close with God, and they'd keep you captivated for an hour with story after story after story after story about how God has supplied and moved in their life and moved in their friends' lives and moved around them and answered prayer after answered prayer after answered prayer. You can't be someone who walks close with God and not have such a maturity. It says the elders obtained a good testimony, which means in God's hierarchy, because there is one, he's looking for people that have testimony of faith in their life. Are you with me? There are people that have believed on God and believed on his word and believed on his promises, like we've sung about this morning, and there's a testimony all through their life of God coming through. Faith experience is just having something that's undeniably God. Undeniably God. Amen. Honestly, I would have so much fun just telling you faith stories. And I know I could get a bunch of people up here telling you faith stories. But every part of, I know, my life has been pivotal. It's been wrapped around these incredible faith stories of things that happened, from my salvation when my dad prayed for me and I got saved through a car accident, through my dad having a word praying for me, and then ringing up all my friends' place. And people like Kim knew me when I first came to God. I'm sure she was in the church. There was an experience in faith that just blew my mind and made me come back to Christ. Remember as a young man stepping into ministry and praying for carpet tiles for the HDYS. And someone sends me out to get carpet tiles. And they say, Andrew, we need carpet. And I'm like, okay, how does this work? And I just prayed. And I rang up a carpet place. And the guy said, I don't have anything. He said, how much money have you spent? I said, I've got nothing. And he goes, well, okay, well, this is weird. He said, well, I have nothing for you. And I said, yes, you do. And he goes, no, I don't. And I said, you do. We're a youth service. We need carpet tiles. You have some. And he goes, I don't. And I said, you do. And he said, why? And I said, because God told me. And you hear the phone just go. And the guy goes, I'll tell you what. There's a pallet in the corner of the warehouse. If you get down here now, you can have what's on it. So I get down there, get the pallet, open it up. It's the perfect color. When we laid the carpet tiles, we had three or four left. I was on a roll. And then we needed a water heater. So I did, committed to prayer, God, water heater. Open my eyes. We're sitting in this little corner office, and the van comes past, and it says Ream. Ream. So I rang the number. And I went all the way through to some managing place in Castle Hill, and there was a guy on the phone, and he said, I got through the manager. I got past the secretary. Next thing, some guy answers the phone. He says, yep. And I said, hi, my name's Andrew Harper from Hills District Youth Service, and we need a hot water heater. And he said, who are you? And he said, how did you get through to me? And I said, I don't know. I just called. He said, did you come through my secretary? And I said, no, you're the first person. And he goes, wow. He goes, what do you need? And I said, a hot water heater. He goes, okay, that's weird. He says, I'm picking up the phone to ring my secretary to ask her why there is a small hot water heater sitting in my office. And he goes, guess what? If you get down here right now, you can have it. I slammed down the phone. I remember talking to my mate, jumped in my car, and I go, I got a hot water heater, and ran off. Is that a coincidence? You know what? Those things framed my early days of ministry. And the only difference between anything was just having a go. And we saw a miracle. We saw miracles. We've seen miracles in this church. We've seen incredible things happen. And God's provision. Life can get exciting. I could tell you so many stories about building this church, about things that we've done. But I want to talk to you. So what is stopping you having more personal faith experiences? Can I talk to you about that? You have to believe that God is in the invisible and in the intangible. Come on. You got to believe it. If you can't put and sometimes for some of you, it's literally switching your over. Your over-knowledgeable mind off. Simply because your mind can't conceive the fact that something intangible and something that's invisible can actually manifest or you can believe in something like that. Amen? The reality is that's where a lot of the world's at. They just can't get around it. They can't get their head around it. It's like, you know, if Jesus just turned up physically, then there'd be a whole bunch of people tipping into it. They're like that doubting Thomas. Thomas had to, Jesus, you know, he saw Jesus, but he still had to put his fingers in the nails holes, right? There's a whole world like that. It's just the doubts there, and they don't want to bridge that gap because it takes faith to bridge that gap. Old-fashioned, good, hardcore faith. You can't get away from it. It'll take it in salvation. You've done it once. If you're in this room, you can do it again. That was a big spit. You can do it again. It takes faith to sit on the front row. I'm telling you, there's faith without an umbrella. It takes faith. You have to believe in the invisible, the intangible. We are conditioned to this natural world. It's everything's trying to condition us just to see it. You look out there across the landscape, you see what's going on in the world, but guess what? I know that God's doing amazing things. I know that the Spirit of God is brooding over this earth doing incredible things. It's just that, guess what? The news don't report it. They're not into it. God's doing amazing things. Hebrews 11, it just talks about it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What's that? The evidence of things not seen. But by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's always, you've probably heard me quote that every time I pray for someone that's sick. I do, because years ago, God just gave me this revelation that the very ground I'm standing on existed because of the word of God. So whenever I pray a word, the word of God towards healing, I always just remember, it's not ridiculous, because I'm standing on something that was created by the very word, that by the very person, God, and with the word he's invested in me, that I am being asked to release into someone's body to bring healing. So I always quote that. I always go, God, your word created this ground I stand on. Because I remember when I've seen someone healed, that's been that revelation. It brings me back to my basics. Because it's there. You're standing in a world that was created by a word. And that same word, when you grab the promises of God and release it into your life, has the same creative power, because it's the same God. And if you get that locked into your spirit, you hang your faith on that. First one is, you have to believe that God is in the invisible and the intangible. Number two, you have to, in most cases, you've got to do something to activate your faith. Because, you know, your faith has a point of contact. Are you with me? Can't say to me, I've got all this faith, and you know, quite often it just takes something you've got to do. I know God is maybe, if it's healing, it's made me do something and embarrass myself to step out and pray for someone, or put aside my fear of man to pray for someone. Amen. Even salvation, it took me walking out from the back one day all the way down past people and giving my life to Christ. I knew that I had to do it. Amen. It took something, it took faith, it took a step to do something, it took a point of contact, it took an action. James chapter 2 verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. I love this. Even the demons believe and tremble. That's kind of out there, isn't it? Well done. You believe there's a God. Well, so does the devil. You're at base level there. You're at the very bottom. You're at the belief level of just there. You know, you and the devil both believe there's a God. How exciting is that? But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Oh, wow. Goes from the base level, I think, to the very top level, offering a child on the altar. Base level, yeah, everyone believes there's a God, to offering a child on the altar? Wow. That's incredible faith. Do you see that faith was working together with works, and by works faith was made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. I am the friend of God. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I am a friend of God. That's where that song comes from. Actually, Abraham wrote that song. Faith needs a point of contact. That's sometimes why we lay hands on someone. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not some weird thing. It's just, our faith is like that. That's why we have anointing oil. That's why you've got to do something different if you want to see faith released. Amen? You can't just lock it down and say, yeah, I've got faith for that, but not do anything. It's our steps, it's our decisions that activate faith. It's your decision to trust God again. Maybe it's your decision to do something different, or just Step out. This is a really old quote, but let me just read it. Thomas Edison failed his way to success with around 9,000 attempts at the light bulb. That's a lot, eh? That'd be quite discouraging, just quietly. Hey, everyone, watch this. I've got a light bulb. One. Oh, sorry about that. I'll be back. Hey, guys, watch this. It's a light bulb. Number two. Hey, well, sorry, family, friends, I know they gathered you all together. Sorry about that, bit embarrassing. Hey, everyone, I've got it right this time. Number three, ready, go. Oh, number three. Do you want me to keep doing this? It's 9,000 reasons why not. We've got time. Has the light bulb gone on? You know, you just can't give up. Faith is about persistence. It's about tenacity. It's about believing. You don't always get everything. It's intangible. It's something you don't see. It doesn't happen the way you think it's going to happen. Let me talk about two common ways that we activate faith. Can I give you the first way? The first way is because we have to. I've noticed as believers, quite often our faith comes to the forefront. We get activated because we find ourselves in a situation where we have to. And there's no problem with that. God doesn't have a problem with that. But I want to encourage you not to leave your faith in the closet until you have to. Amen? Because there's a lot of believers. I know. It's like, man, we're in desperation. Where's my faith? Honey, did you know where we put the faith? Yeah, it's in the closet. It's under the sports commitment. It's under the TV shows. Oh, it's under there. There's my faith. Honey, we need it. Man, we need our faith. We're facing something drastic right now. Did you find it? Yeah, I've got a faith. Still there. Bit dusty. Haven't used it for a while. We used it, you know, way back when our kids were sick. Yeah, but we haven't used it since then. I'm being funny, but there's a lot of people like that, eh? 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 24. Syria is besieging Samaria. So the city's in famine, and it's pretty bad. And verse 24, it says, it happens after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up to besiege Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged her until the donkey's head was sold for 8 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a carb of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Is that bad? That's a rock bottom, right? Dove droppings are on the menu. And you're paying a top dollar. That's fowl. Well, it's not actually fowl because that's chicken. Sorry. But that's pretty bad, right? That's bad. Dove droppings. And I love the story. I mean, we've all heard the story about the lepers. 2 Kings 7, verse 3. Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we'll die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall only die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of Syria to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight, and that And they left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came into the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went hid them. And they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also. And they went and hid it. Four boys backed up against a wall. Can't go that way. If they stand still, they die. Can't go back. So they had no other thing to do than move forward. Amen? And I find there's a lot of believers. You get there and that's where your faith is at and you just got to step forward. You got to go, you know what, honey, we got nothing. There's nothing else we can do. All right? Come on, let's believe God. Let's start stepping forward. Amen? Let's step forward. You pick your spirit up. You go, come on. We do this. We know God's real. Let's keep moving. And you get over the hill, and guess what? God's turned up. Amen? I call that your base level faith. It's against the wall faith. It's you've got to move forward. You've got nowhere else to go. And God will come through. God doesn't mind that. He loves that faith. It puts its faith in Him. But I want to share another story. I want to talk about a faith that we activate because we want to, not because we have to. Amen? Let's talk about Peter. Matthew 14:29. So he said, come, Jesus said. And when Peter had come down out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind, it was boisterous, he was afraid, began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And they got into the boat and the wind ceased. But I love Peter there. He had a go. He didn't have to. Jesus was on the water. He saw it and he went for it. That's the sort of faith that God rewards. And then God, all Christ said to him is, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He was heading for Jesus. You've got to step forward. You've got to believe for it. You've got to go for it. You've got to get out of the boat. There were a whole bunch of other disciples that just didn't. And they missed out on the experience. I have no doubt the whole boat could have jumped out of there, the whole bunch of them. Hey, wow. Ooh. And they could have all just gone straight to Jesus. I don't think it was just one miracle for him. Are you right? It was the whole lot of them. And there's times in our life where we've got to look at circumstances and look at things and get dissatisfied with what we've got, and you need to start. Don't wait till it gets so bad that your faith has to kick in as a backstop. Go for it now. Are you with me? Get some experiences that you want to have. Get some things that you're believing for and do some things different. We need to decide to put ourselves in positions to activate a faith experience. Some of us, it may be witnessing. Maybe you've been skirting around with someone and you're just believe that God's going to save someone that you're talking to and just go for it. Share the gospel with them. Go, you know what? This could ruin our relationship, but let me just tell you what I think you need to know and go for it. Let me ask you three questions. When was the last time you actively, consciously believed God for something and saw Him deliver it? When was the last time? Actively, consciously believed for something and saw God deliver it. What did you do to activate your faith? Third question. What am I actively believing for now? What actions have I taken to see it come to pass? If you don't have something you're believing for, then you're not believing for faith and experience. True? And what are you doing about it? Sometimes it takes more than just praying a prayer. Sometimes it'll take something a little bit different. Are you with me? Sometimes it actually takes some action. It takes something you've got to do. You've got to put yourself in a position to do something. It doesn't just happen. In the area of finance, I know in my life, something God spoke into my spirit a long time ago, and God just said to me, give me opportunities to bless you. Are you with me? Give me opportunities to bless you. And I looked around my life and I thought, I've got to always have something going on outside of my natural, maybe my wage or something, that I can see God moving. And you know what? I always have, and God always has. We first started this church, you know, you talk about money, you lend to people and everything. We really felt God to give some money to someone, and we did, and it was going to be for 3 months just as we're getting the church going. And it was, you know, it was a bit of money, and we're just believing and it was going to come back to us. Would you know what? That lasts for 6 years. And it paid the other half of my wage when we were establishing the church. And you know, the very day that Mary Ann began to work or Harriet had ceased, because there was a... She could do, she had an ability to get some income. It was almost on that week it stopped. And you could go, oh, that's a coincidence. I don't think so. I think we stepped out to do something and God said, great, okay. And we put some money there and it just supplied. And it kept on going. And it's like God turned the tap off and said, okay, you've got another miracle here happening. Are you with me? Sometimes you've got to do something. Don't just stand here and go, you know what, I've never seen God move in any of these areas of my life. Well, what have you done? If it's in the area of finance, I'm not talking just because of the miracle offering, but have you ever given something in faith? Have you put something down and saying, God, I'm believing for this? I don't say it comes miraculously the way you think, but I tell you what, you're still putting your need in God's hands and you're putting it in that area. If this is in the area of healing, have you got a hold of the Word of God and prayed over it every day? I watched my wife do that when we were in an area, and we even had this prayer blanket on our bed, which is weird. Had all these scriptures on it, and all we were into whatever. And I remember looking at my wife's bathroom, in every scripture of healing was there around the window, around the mirror. And she'd quote it, and she could rattle it off. Bang, 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 bang. Well, guess what? Years later, it happened. And do you know what? Okay, that was a coincidence, but I believe in that. Well, in our circumstance, I don't think it was. It was what God told her to do, and God did it. She did it. She was obedient, and she kept on speaking it. And we had got to a stage where we said, we're going to believe for that. We didn't get all caught up. We didn't deny our circumstances, but we believed in God's word, and she kept it there, and she could rattle it off. She could give you every healing word and still can. You know what that miracle was? Annalise. But whatever it is, you might not have had something, you might not have, but just believe for some area of your life. Whatever God's impressing, get to him, ask him, say, God, what are you impressing on my life? If it's financial things, well, do something. You're saying, God, I want to increase my finances, but you've never given out of faith. Well, guess what? It's about time to break that chain and do it. If it's healing, get a hold of the word of God. Maybe pray for other people's healing to get your faith up. Are you with me? Get into it. If it's not something you can do for yourself, then get involved in it and get your heart into it. So for promotion, just believe for it. Go after it. God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Get a hold of the word. Our Christianity, the baseline of it, is our faith in God. And you know what? God can do amazing things. So why don't we stand to our feet? I'll get the band to come now.